Number one myth about hell. Hell is a place where Satan reigns. There are a lot of people, more people than you would imagine, who in their ignorance and darkness believe that hell is a place where Satan reigns, a place where Satan rules. To them, hell is Satan's home, Satan's castle, where he devises plans to destroy the church and rule the world. It's a place where he inflicts misery on those who have been sent there to suffer. But that's totally wrong. That is not what the Bible teaches. Scripture does not teach that hell is a place where Satan reigns. Satan does not reign in hell. He does not rule in hell. In fact, the opposite is the case. The Bible tells us that hell is a prison for the devil. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Do you get any impression there of the devil ruling in hell? Well, I don't either. No, hell is a place of punishment for Satan. It's a place of torment for Satan. It is not a place where he rules. I suppose one of the reasons why people like to think that the devil is in hell and he's in charge of hell is because they don't like to think of him as being up here on the earth with us. They like to think of this fiend, Satan, being far away from them. But actually, the reality is that he's not far away from them at all. Satan is on this earth. How do we know that? Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. How many times have we heard each other quote this verse in a prayer meeting? 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Prowling our cities, our suburbs, our countryside, looking for people to devour. Not physically, but spiritually. So Satan is not reigning in hell, but I'll tell you one thing, dear friend. He wants to rule over you. He wants to reign over you. His aim is to reign and rule in your life. I wonder, is that your present state? Who is reigning in your life? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ or is it the devil? It's one or the other. You're not in between. Thank God Satan has been destroyed by the finished work of Christ. Hebrews 2 verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He was dealt a blow at the cross that he has never recovered from and he will never recover from. So there you have it. Satan has been defeated. He has been destroyed by Christ. And don't believe this myth that many people believe today that Satan is reigning in hell. Because it's not true. The second myth, hell is where sinners party. Hell is where sinners party. Those of you who have gone on outreach, chances are you have spoken to people who have said that they would much rather party in hell with their friends than hang out in heaven with people in white robes who are just really uptight religious people. I've had that thrown up to me, and possibly you have had the same statement as well. These people who believe this myth swallow this lie that hell is a place where you go after this life and you party, and all your friends who have lived for the devil in this life will be there as well. So, I mean, why would you even want to be in heaven with all those stuffy religious people? Let's just go to hell and have a party. We have partied on earth night and day. Let's just carry it on, continue the same in hell. Let's just party night and day in hell. Well, I want to tell you tonight, there is going to be no party in hell. Hell is not a place where sinners party. Hell is not a dark, comfortable pub where you can hang out with your friends and talk about the meaning of life. Nor is hell some kind of everlasting rave, thumping with house music and lit with glow sticks. Hell is not a place where people party. Hell is the most miserable, the most awful place that any human being could ever be. People talk about hell on earth. But nothing that we can experience on this earth, no matter how terrible it is, nothing even comes close to the horrendous experience that sinners will have when they end up in hell. So there is myth number two exploded. Hell is not a party. We have read tonight Matthew 22. I don't see any party in that passage. In fact, I see the opposite. I see the Lord Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he comes to the wedding reception, and he sees the man with no wedding garment. And he doesn't say, "Now, take this man away, send him away to the place where people party 24/7. No, he says, "Take this man, bind him hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." Those words, weeping and gnashing of teeth, have you ever been to a party or seen a party where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? I don't think so. Not much of a party if that was the case. But you see, dear friends, hell is, it's not a place where Christ haters are going to party. It's a place that is unspeakably awful. It's a place where sinners are experiencing things that literally make their teeth chatter. The top row chatters against the bottom row. Such is the horror that they are experiencing. Such is the terror that they're experiencing. Myth number three, hell is temporary. Hell doesn't last forever. Well, heaven lasts forever, so how come hell doesn't last forever? What part of the word everlasting do people not understand? People who go to hell continue to sin against their Maker. They will eternally sin against their Maker. So why then should hell not be eternal? If rebels against high heaven are going to go to hell, and they're going to continue to shake their fists in the face of the one who bled and died for them, why should they not suffer forever and ever? Do you follow the logic? Hell is not temporary, it is forever. Judgment continues forever. Sin deserves to be judged. And if people are not willing to repent of their sin and turn from their sin, why should judgment stop? So don't believe this third myth and play around with the gospel and think to yourself, well, I will take my chance. I will live for myself, for the pleasures of sin. I will reject the gospel. I will refuse Christ. And it's okay because hell doesn't last forever. And I'll grin and bear it and grit my teeth for however long I need to be in hell. And whenever I get out of hell, then it'll be worth it because it's only temporary. Don't believe that lie of the devil. Because whenever you enter hell, you will never get out. There is no exit in hell. No escape. Abandon hope, all ye that enter here. Fourth myth about hell. Hell is for bad people. Hell is just for Adolf Hitler. Hell is just for Saddam Hussein. Hell is just for the butchers of communist Russia, people like Stalin, who, by the way, murdered 50 million of his own people. He used to go down at lunchtime, you know, just sort of like a hobby. He would take a gun and blow somebody's brains out. Just a pastime. Hell is just for people like him. Hell is just for suicide bombers. Hell is just for the people who flew those planes into the Twin Towers on 9/11. Hell is for bad people. Friends, it's a myth. Because we are all bad. The problem is that God is good and we are not. Did you hear that? God is good, oh so good, but we are not. Every one of us deserve hell. The Lord Jesus said to the rich young ruler, there is none good but one, that is God. The Apostle Paul said, there is none righteous, no, not one. There are no good people. There are no regular people who deserve heaven. Every one of us are bad. Every one of us are wicked. Every one of us are evil. And the only place we deserve to be in for all eternity is that place that has four letters in its name, H-E-L-L, hell. Our hope cannot and should not be in the fact that we will somehow become good people or even better people. That somehow, if we live a better life, we will gradually become better citizens and better people. More holy people, more moral people. And then God will say, you are now quite a good person. You used to be a very bad person, but now you're quite a good person. So I think you've changed from the category of someone who deserves hell to someone who deserves heaven. No, the fact is that every one of us are indescribably bad, and no amount of trying will ever change that fact. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All our good works, all our giving to charity, all our church attendance, being a good neighbor, helping others, being good citizens, living and letting live, keeping the golden rule, the Sermon on the Mount. All these things are useless. They cannot change the fact that we are all bad people, and all bad people who deserve hell. The only hope we have is in the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ took our hell upon the cross. You may be asking, why did you read Psalm 22? I'll tell you why I read it. Because it gives us a description of the hell that Jesus went through for us. Turn back to Psalm 22, just follow it. We're going to make a few comments as we finish off. The first verse, Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Does that ring a bell? Well, it should. Because in the Gospels, we have the cry of the Lord Jesus, his orphan cry, someone has called it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. What was happening at that moment when Jesus cried those words was that he was abandoned by his heavenly Father. For the first time in all eternity, the holy, spotless Lamb of God was deserted by his heavenly Father. And so he cries out in his agony, this invisible spiritual agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was experiencing what a person experiences when they go to hell, being abandoned by God. None of us in this church tonight have been abandoned by God. The very fact that you're in this service tonight is proof that God is still gracious to you and merciful to you, and he has brought you here tonight because he so much wants you to be saved. But the Lord Jesus Christ experienced what it was to be forsaken by the Lord. Every person who rejects Christ will experience this horrible feeling when they end up in hell, and it'll be too late then. But no one need go to hell. No one need be forsaken eternally by God, because Jesus on the cross experienced that awful feeling. As we go down through the chapter, you find that our Lord is praying. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. Jesus prayed on the cross, but God had abandoned him. God was not hearing his prayer. Do you know, whenever people arrive in hell, they will start to pray. Oh, the amount of people tonight, if I could lift the lid on hell and let you listen in for a moment tonight at the end of our service, oh, you would hear a lot of people praying. People who never prayed in their lives, during their lifetimes, but now in hell, they're praying with all their hearts. Like the rich man, they're praying fervently. But God does not hear them. God will never hear their prayers. And friend, if you end up in hell, and I pray that you will never, that it will not happen, I will do all my power to see that it doesn't happen. But if you do end up in hell, if you trample on the blood of Christ, and if you bypass the cross of Christ, and you end up in hell, you can pray all you like, but your prayer will never, ever be heard. You're only wasting your breath. Oh, there are other awful, horrendous experiences that the Lord Jesus experienced on the cross. If you go down there to verse 14, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. Verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. There you have the desperate thirst of the Savior on the cross. Why do you think that Jesus said, I thirst? Well, it's very simple. It's because in hell you will have a thirst that will never be satisfied. Like the rich man again, who said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Friends, can you see the jigsaw? It's all coming together now. The Lord Jesus had such insatiable thirst on Calvary's cross. And it was because he was taking your hell and my hell upon himself. There is so much that we could say. So many other comments we could make on Psalm 22. But time is gone. We have been going through the Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know whether you've gleaned much from it or not. I hope you have. But if you glean and if you take nothing else from it, please be warned about this place called hell. Don't end up in this awful place. Please, please, please heed the warning voice of God that comes to you tonight. And if we are all saved, if we are all believers already, and I am preaching to the converted tonight, then please, 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 let us all do what we can to warn people about this place, to tell them that hell is real. 325. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? 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 Where will you spend eternity? It's a very sad verse, verse 3. Leaving the straight and narrow way, going the downward road today, sad will their final ending be, lost through a long eternity. But then, verse 2 is much happier, and this can be your experience. Many are choosing Christ today, turning from all their sins away. Heaven, not hell, heaven shall their happy portion be. Where will you spend eternity? Let's stand and sing this hymn together, please.